listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we are still kind of processing the four divisional games in the NFL before we start looking ahead to the AFC Championship game. So much to really buzz about. What a great weekend it was in the NFL. Mike Tenier joins us, footballoutsiders.com, to talk about that and look ahead to Sunday. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I haven't seen so many last-second game-winning field goals in my life. And one of them wasn't even a game-winning. It was a game-tying field goal. So there is a lot to process.
All right, let's start with the first game out of the gates from the weekend, and that was Cincinnati against Tennessee. I really like this Bengals team. They're confident. They're fun. But what is it about them? Like, what do they have going for them that makes them so threatening?
They have Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase. That's what makes them so threatening. That's just about the only thing that makes them so threatening. And that's the concern here. They are confident. They are fun. It's great seeing these new faces, these young players. They cannot protect their quarterback.
Right.
And while they look good on defense against the Titans kind of look discombobulated. They were shocked that Derrick Henry looked a little rusty. None of the rest of us were shocked. But the Bengals' defense does not play generally as well as it played last week. So, you know, when if Ja'Marr Chase is going to get 200 receiving yards like he did against the Chiefs in the first game, the Bengals can beat anybody. If you can neutralize that, they're kind of just another sort of, you know, wild card-y AFC playoff team. They don't look like they're the match for a team like the Chiefs or the Bills, for that matter.
I don't really want to get too far ahead of myself here, but I'm so enamored with these young quarterbacks that are emerging the AFC that if you're the Titans and you've got a Ryan Tannehill and a great running game and a good defense, is that going to be good enough in the future? Is that going to be a recipe to get you to a Super Bowl?
See, that's a worry. That's a worry for the Titans for the reasons you just said. That's a worry for the Cleveland Browns, for the Baker Mayfield. Maybe he's a game manager and will run the ball with our great offensive line. That's a worry for the New England Patriots. We know Bill Belichick, smarter than everybody else, was like, hey, look at Mac Jones. He's kind of sort of okay. We can build a great team around him. I'd be worried about any of those plans. I want Joe Burrow. I want Justin Herbert. I want Lamar Jackson when he's at his peak and when he's healthy. Or, of course, I want the big two. I want the new Brady. I want the new Manning. I want Mahomes. I want Josh Allen. If I don't have those, I'm worried about that plan. And that includes the Titans, who, you know, looked like they went as far as they could with a sort of Tannehill and Henry plan over the last 2-3 years.
And, again, the Bengals are going to go to Arrowhead. They're going to play the Chiefs. I know they're going to be confident because they beat the Chiefs, even though it was at home. And it was pretty recent. That being said, what – is there a larger thing, Mike, and I hope you get what I'm getting at here, that came out of that Bills-Chiefs game, this sort of statement of, this is a different style of football and you better catch up to us?
That's the way I look at it, and I wrote about it at Football Outsiders at Walkthrough. For the last 3 years, it looks like the Chiefs have been playing a different sport than everyone else.
Yeah.
And most of the times they crush everybody that sport, and sometimes they trip over their own feet because they're still learning how to play that sport. But it's rare for them to get beat. Yeah, they were beat by the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. They're usually not beat. It's usually like, whoops, look at all the little mistakes we made trying to do this. And on Sunday, it looks like the Bills caught up. Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to have Josh Allen running, you know, power runs like he's John Riggins, and then throwing 80-yard touchdowns, and we're going to play NFL Blitz 2002 against you, and it nearly worked. So that's one team that's caught up. You know, can the Bengals catch up? I think they could catch up next year if they get like three new offensive linemen and Joe Burrow doesn't get sacked 9 times. But I don't think game for game, pound for pound, they caught up in Week 17 playing their absolute lights out game, and they actually caught up in that game. They were trailing heavily in the second half. I don't think they can do that on a consistent basis, and that's what I think all of the AFC, all the NFL really has to learn how to do.
Many of us have been Monday morning quarterback those 13 seconds and in the overtime and whatnot. How would you evaluate how the Bills went from kickoff to the 13 seconds to the overtime on defense?
I'll say this about Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, 13 seconds less kicking off, would have had a designed kickoff, ready to roll. It would have been, you're going to kick that ball to about the 2-yard line. Matthew Slater and Brandon Bolden are going to be chasing downfield to tackle the guy at about the 20 after he runs for 5 seconds. Like, the whole thing would have been practiced in July. Like, the entire scenario would have been done. And that's what made the Patriots, in addition to Tom Brady, et cetera, et cetera. But that's the kind of thing the Bills have to figure out. I have no question the Bills are going to be in these championship games next couple of years. They'll win some. But to increase their odds, to maximize their leverage against the Chiefs and any other challengers, every little detail like that has to have been figured out. So, you know, McDermott and his crew, didn't do a great job of that this year. They lost a couple of games sort of in last second. Oh, we didn't get the fourth down conversion. We were a yard short. We committed a penalty. The other team only ran the ball, threw the ball three times, but we didn't have an answer for it. All of those little details, you get them figured out, then you're at home, not in Kansas City in the playoffs. Then you're 6 seconds left, not 12 seconds left, and those details make you a champion.
Let's go to San Francisco and Green Bay, because whenever we talk about special teams failure, it's always like one thing. But in this game, multiple special team failures. How did it break down? So from kicking the Deebo Samuel to blocking a field goal, blocking a punt, how did that special teams just collapse like that?
It has been all year. It has been on and off. The first game against the 49ers, the Packers, were in control, and then they kicked off and allowed a long kickoff return. They almost got upset by the Bears because they were the kickoffs and the kickoff returns. I'm shocked that Maurice Drayton, the coordinator, has his job right now. You know, I don't like advocating to get guys fired, et cetera, but this was a bad performance, a high profile. This guy should, you know, be looking elsewhere for work this year, and I don't know beyond that what the answer is. What the answer usually is you increase your special teams prowess by getting special teams core players. That's what the Patriots do. That's what the Ravens do. They get these guys whose job it is, the Slaters, you know, to go out there and be the captain of special teams. Packers could do that. Problem is, the Packers have a long offseason agenda, starting with making Aaron Rodgers happy. And making Aaron Rodgers happy doesn't often mean, hey, let's get some backup linebackers you can run to cover kicks. You know, it means getting him more, you know, Randall Cobbs and buddies like that. So it's going to be a real tricky offseason for the Packers, where they can't necessarily focus on that one job, that one problem they have to solve.
How much of that loss goes on Aaron Rodgers? You can point to the block punt and the special teams mistakes, but how much of it was the quarterback couldn't get more than 7 points offensively?
Well, that's it.
One touchdown, I should say.
One drive and that's it. And you know, I was happy to see on Sunday a lot of people have the dots, and a lot of people on Twitter who like do the dot diagrams and then show the tape, and they're showing the open receivers, and they're showing, you know, the open Alan Lazard and open this guy and that guy, and the ball's going just to Adams. And you know, if that was a one-time thing with Aaron Rodgers, we could excuse it, but that's a regular thing with Aaron Rodgers, these big games. It's like, I'm the hero. I'm going to throw to my one guy that I trust, and everybody else can cut me. He does that. When he talks like that. Like, that's the way he thinks. So, you know, that is a concern. That's a problem. And, you know, the Packers keep banging their heads into the same problem over and over again. And what it boils down to, I know they made a lot of kissy face noises at Rodgers about how they want to keep him, et cetera, et cetera. He's the solution to all their problems, but he's also the cause of many of their problems. And I don't know how long they can sustain operating like that.
On the flip side, San Francisco, give me the read on Jimmy Garoppolo. Do they want him? Do they like him? Like, he's not showing much, but he keeps winning games.
clearly Shanahan likes him and trusts him. And what I think the situation is, like, what we don't see is when those guys are going in motion, Debo's going this way and Kittle's going that way and Juszczyk's going the other way before the snap, the quarterback's got to make a lot of decisions. Like, he's deciding the ball's going to be, it may be a 3 yard pass, but in this case, it's going to Debo or it's going to Ayuk or whatever. And it takes a while to kind of learn that and kind of figure that out. And Garoppolo knows that stuff. And Trey Lance, clearly, from what we've saw this year, like, he can't get on the field because he doesn't know all of those little details yet. And that's what is keeping Garoppolo behind the wheel this year. I don't think it will extend to next year, et cetera. So the problem with that is it has limited value. It's good for the 4 yard pass and the yak. I can't imagine that they're going to keep doing this tightrope walk that they've done against the Rams before, against the Cowboys, against the Packers, and now they're going to keep walking this tightrope for another week. At some point, some team clamps down and says enough is enough. Might be Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and the Rams.
Yeah, it's very difficult to beat a team three times. The 49ers will try to do that. That being said, is there something about the way the 49ers play that bothers the Rams, like the physicality, the ability to control the line of scrimmage? Like, what is it about what the Niners are doing that gives them this edge against Los Angeles?
The only thing I can say, because you look for that, like, oh, this is the thing you can't defend. The Rams defend the run pretty well. They're pretty good against, you know, yards after the catch, things like that. The Rams commit turnovers. They make mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford throws interceptions. They had the fumble spree last week. All these doofy things happen. The 49ers do not make a lot of mistakes. If they make a lot of mistakes, they're done. They're out the door very early in a game. They play this very close to the vest football. And that kind of is what happened in the season finale, where the Rams had a 17-3 lead. And it was a little bit like Sunday, where it's like, oh, let's make a mistake. And the tortoise beat the hare. And that's what happened. That's not a sustainable path to doing it over and over and over again. We saw how good the Rams were playing for most of Sunday. We saw how iffy the 49ers looked for most of Saturday. I think those are the teams that we're going to see when they play each other next week.
In terms of how important it is for the Rams, I mean, they've mortgaged everything for this. They were up 27-3 and the Buccaneers came back. But that being said, are they playing in scheme the way that they should be at this time? Forget the turnovers. Are they putting all the pieces together right?
It sure feels like it. And again, the comeback was the comeback. And even the comeback was weird because, you know, the Rams would make a mistake, give the Buccaneers a ball. And it's not like Brady just marched down the field. Brady would give the ball back. You know, right. There'd be a fourth down stop. There'd be a fumble by Brady, et cetera, et cetera. So while they were making mistakes, it was not really – they weren't like these repeatable mistakes. So from a scheme standpoint, it looked like it was lights out. You know, they could get Cup open when they wanted to. They couldn't run the ball, but they could pretty much do everything else. And, you know, when I look at that, I say, well, if the only weakness is running the ball and you can do everything else well, and Darrell Henderson, your running back, is probably coming back to health there, I don't see every team has weaknesses. Obviously, we know that Stafford can throw two interceptions in a row. He's done that during the regular season. The way they're playing now, I don't see the sustainable weakness that makes them that vulnerable to the 49ers.
Mike, always great stuff. Thank you always for joining us. Appreciate it, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Take care and enjoy
your
week.
You got it. Mike Tenier, footballoutsiders.com. Always brings energy. I love it. Absolutely love it. We'll talk some about the things he mentioned about some of these teams playing this weekend as we continue with Wake Up Call.